WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Nothing excites me more than when it's time to eat. I love food, but sometimes I have to go with what's quick. A frozen meal, a granola bar, or even plant-based chicken nuggets. And these all have one thing in common. They're all ultra-processed foods. These foods make up more than half of the average American adult's diet. And eating these foods has been linked to overeating and higher risks of all kinds of diseases. So how did we get here? We've got certified health coach Rochelle Trotter of Living Well with Rochelle in the studio with us. And I started off by asking her, what makes a food, quote, ultra-processed? What do we mean by that term? Here's Rochelle.
Okay. Processed foods or ultra-processed foods are industrial formulations made from substances that have been extracted from the whole food, and they have little of the whole food in it, with little of its nutritional value. If you think about a strawberry that you pick from the field, that's a fresh strawberry.
Yeah.
Minimally processed is that same strawberry that's been cut and put into, say, a container at a grocery store in the refrigerated section. Mm-hmm. Processed strawberry would be, it's altered from its original state. So like canned strawberries, if you've ever seen that in the grocery store, strawberries mm-hmm. packed like in syrup or juice, often whole. But an ultra processed example of a strawberry would be strawberry candy, those strawberry breakfast cereals, yogurt with strawberry fruit on the bottom that's marketed as healthy and low fat.
Strawberry toaster strudels.
Yeah. Strawberry Pop-Tarts. Oh my goodness. I used to like them too. Now don't get me wrong,
ooh,
but when you know, you know.
I don't want you looking in my freezer at all, Rochelle.
I can't wait.
All right. So there are different categories of processed foods. So just again, a crash course on the different categories, if you will.
Crash course. No processing means it's, you go into an orchard, you pick a peach off the tree. Minimally processed, that same peach that's been picked has been washed and perhaps cut into chunks and put in a container, right?
Yeah.
To make it more convenient for you to buy from the grocery store. Processed means that peach is now in a can with a lot of high fructose corn syrup, right? Ultra processed would be like a peach flavored soda, peach candy, yogurt with peach on the bottom.
Yeah.
Again, you're taking the whole food and you're extracting from that food. So there's little to none of that whole food actually left, and it retains little to no of its nutritional value.
All right. So let me open up my lunch bag for you.
Oh my goodness.
I brought my lunch bag into the studio here.
Okay.
Got a couple items.
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
It's not my lunch. I just want to be clear to listeners. These are snacks.
That's what
to keep
she
me
says.
Going throughout
it's in
the
a
reset
lunch
day.
Bag.
You know, it's in a lunch bag. All right. So what are your thoughts on this?
Okay. So show me what
this
you have.
This is my bag of those oatmeal raisin cookies.
Oatmeal raisin cookies.
Three
what
of them.
What category do you think they would be in?
Oh, don't quiz me, Rochelle. They're processed?
They're ultra processed.
Oh,
you have the oats that have been ground. You have raisins. They have sugar added in there. I'm sure they have fat added in there. I'm sure they have some sort of refined flour. So I'm sorry, but cookies fall into that category of sweets that are part, you know, one of the top three categories of ultra processed foods.
Bummer.
Show me what else you got.
Yeah, producers are shaking their heads at me right now in the control room.
Oh my goodness.
All right, I've got this bottle of Lipton lemon iced tea.
I know you didn't pull that out and show that to me.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But I love it so much.
And we all do. But guess what the number one category of ultra processed foods are? Sugary drinks and sodas.
Right,
and so
right.
many of us get fooled by things that say like no sugar or tea. You think that's healthy. Look at that label, honey.
Yeah. So is it fair to say that if you can't pronounce some of the ingredients, it's probably ultra processed?
What I like to say is if you can't read it or you can't speak it, don't eat it.
Okay.
Okay. And a good rule of thumb is if you have a package and it has more than 5 ingredients on the back, then you probably are dealing with something that's close to, if not definitely, an ultra processed food.
All right, before we move on, I gotta redeem myself. Here's the third item in my bag.
Now, you know what that is. Those are green grapes.
Yes.
I love that.
Seedless grapes, baby.
Those aren't even minimally processed because it looks like you picked those yourself and put them in a bag.
Oh, I did.
So, yay, you got 1 out of 3. 1 out of 3 is not bad.
1 out of 3 is not bad.
1 out of 3 is not bad.
All right, so some more stats here that'll probably depress us. According to a study out of the School of Global Public Health at New York University, ultra-processed foods make up about 60% of an adult's diet in the U.S. I mean, I don't think of my diet as more than half processed, but I mean, what do we know about the effects of this kind of food on our health?
Well,
what is it doing to us?
What we know, the 3 main issues with ultra-processed foods, number one, we hit on it a little, the lack of nutritional value. Most ultra-processed foods are higher in sugar, sodium, and unhealthy fats, and they also lack dietary fiber, vitamins, and minerals. The second one is obesity. And the third big issue is they actually lead into chronic disease. Diseases that are associated with higher risk of like type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and certain types of cancers because of the amount of high added sugars, unhealthy fats, and sodium, which also contribute to things like hypertension and insulin resistance. So those are things that should scare us when you know it. You know how that saying used to go, ignorance is bliss?
Yes.
Well, it absolutely is, because the global category for ultra-processed foods is expected to grow almost $595 billion, that's a B, between 2023 and 2028.
This is a money-making business, but it's making us sicker.
It's a money-making business. It, you know, ultra-processed foods came to a big rise because of like post-war industrialization, technology advances. Companies can make food easier and more cost effective, but there was also an increased consumer demand because you had more women going to work. So the lifestyles at homes were changing and people were looking for ready to go and easier to serve meals for their family. So that's where you saw the proliferation of frozen meats, canned goods, and snacks. Marketing and advertising certainly doesn't help. And then the expansion of supermarkets, the proliferation, especially in the 50s and 60s, it provided a space for large corporations to have more shelf space for this ultra-processed food.
Goodness. Okay, one part of this issue is marketing. I want to play this commercial for Kraft Singles for us.
It's lunchtime for the kids. We could throw one of those frozen numbers in the microwave, but wouldn't it be nice to whip up something a little more wholesome? Start with Kraft Singles and create a delicious, melty grilled cheese. And since Singles are made with milk, they're not only creamy and yummy, they're actually wholesome. And maybe we'll make an extra one for ourselves, because our lunch, cold coffee, could be a little more wholesome too. Kraft Singles, goodness squared.
Let's count how many times she said wholesome.
Wholesome.
Wholesome. But how often do we hear these kinds of commercials?
We hear these kinds of commercials all the time. We hear wholesome for Kraft Singles that basically have that food coloring in it. I won't even go there. And to make that grilled cheese, you're going to slather on a whole bunch of saturated fat in the form of butter and on and on and on.
Yeah.
All these things that lead into the chronic disease that we just talked about.
Oh, but yum, though.
But yum. But you also see things where people are using really powerful statements like, helps lower your cholesterol per the American Heart Association. So if you don't know and you go into a grocery store and you see that on the front of a box of cereal, of course you may grab it and say, this is going to help keep me healthy. But what you don't know is, you know, the same company and that same product that's saying it's going to help your cholesterol also, you know, has been accused of containing contaminants that actually are unhealthy for your body. So
right.
You have to read the labels and understand what is in your food.
Yeah, this sounds similar to how cigarettes and tobacco products were marketed in the past.
Yes.
Let's listen.
Yes, absolutely.
What cigarette do you smoke? You'll be interested to know how the doctors of America answered that question. Tens of thousands of doctors in all parts of the country, in every state of the union, doctors in every branch of medicine were asked, what cigarette do you smoke, doctor? In this nationwide survey of general practitioners, surgeons, throat specialists, diagnosticians, and so on, the brand named most was Camel.
What do you think of this tactic?
Oh my goodness. It breaks my heart because I can remember being a young girl and like seeing pregnant women smoking, because I can remember ads that were targeting women saying like smoking is cool for you. Just like I can remember ads targeting mothers that, you know, feeding their kids, you know, cola beverages were good for you. I think we are going to find ourselves, perhaps not in our lifetime, but soon, with commercials that are telling us things that we consume today are actually leading to our early death.
Jeez.
You can't deny the fact about how our food is manufactured, so, particularly here in the U.S., and the increase in chronic diseases, especially with things like type 2 diabetes and obesity, especially in our children in these underserved, under-resourced area, which is an entirely different conversation. I can teach you about accessing less processed foods, but if you don't have those options in your neighborhoods, then what good does it do?
Well, for now, I do want you to give us some tips, because again, I'm looking at more stats here. According to a 2023 study from Nature Communications, 73% of our food supply, so just over 7 in 10, is ultra-processed. What are our alternatives, Rochelle? Because it just seems impossible to avoid them.
It does seem impossible, but there is hope. You know, again, I go back to, I tell all of my clients, if you can't read it or speak it, don't eat it. Just think about that. The first and most important thing as a consumer we can do is educate ourselves. Label reading to identify things like oils, syrups, artificial flavors, and sweeteners. We have to watch out for marketing lingo. I appreciate you playing those commercials like you did, especially things like low fat or sugar free, because of course they've removed those items, but they've replaced them with some other ingredients which are unhealthy. We could do better with focusing more on whole, unprocessed, or minimally processed foods, do more cooking at home and meal prep, limiting our eating out. Here's a tip: shop the perimeter of your grocery stores. Most grocery stores have produce, dairies, meats, bakery items along the perimeter, whereby the center of the store is typically where you're going to find all of the canned goods and your more ultra-processed foods.
Oh, that's true.
And reduce our consumption of the top five groups of ultra-processed foods, which are those sugary drinks, snacks and sweets, ready-to-eat or ready-to-heat meals, breakfast cereals, and processed meats.
You alluded to this earlier. I mean, is this just an issue in the U.S.? What's going on in other countries?
I think what I have seen and what I have experienced is in the U.S., we are more reactive. Let's let our consumers eat these things, and then let's watch and see how it affects them, whether it relates to the types of food that we are eating or the types of ingredients that the FDA approves as okay in our food. I mean, at what point is it ever okay to have a certain amount of a chemical, an insecticide, in a food product? Well, that's what happened with a lot of products like a Cheerios when some Roundup was found up in Cheerios, but it was under the FDA allowed levels. Other countries look at what we're doing in America, and I talk to my friends and I say, I feel like we are a living test market for other countries because they take a proactive approach. I am going to be cautious about approving these food colors and these food
guys. But let's see what they do over there in America.
And let's watch what happens to them. But don't get me started, because then I get sick here in America. Then I go to the doctor. The doctor sends me to some pharmacist to get medicines as opposed to sending me somewhere to learn about changing my diet. And who wins?
Not us.
Okay.
Well, when we talk about diets, you know, we often talk about eating things in moderation, Rochelle, but what does that even mean in this case? Can we eat ultra-processed foods in moderation, or do we just try to cut them out altogether?
Listen, I don't think we'll ever be in a world, at least not here in America, where at some point or another, we are going to face some sort of an ultra-processed food. If you have the ability to not make that a daily habit, then sure, you're okay to have something here or there. But the problem is, there is a scientific term. It's called hyperpalatability. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
And basically, food scientists, it's also referred to as food bliss sometimes, but food scientists actually in the lab work to create sort of this blissful state with food so that it triggers certain areas reward in the reward center of our brain, which leads us to increase cravings for them, which then finds us falling into potentially addictive behaviors. And so there are people that are scientifically working in these labs of these large food manufacturers to say, is it appealing enough? Is it rewarding enough? Is it lighting up enough of that brain reward center?
Can health organizations intervene here? How can they just get away with this?
There are more politics involved in food and the food chain than I would ever even want to attempt to tackle. But what I can say is, if we become more aware as consumers and start to vote with our dollars, you see, the food manufacturers are only mass marketing more and more of this stuff because we're continuing to buy it. Yeah. We're even falling into the trap with thinking, oh, I'm eating healthy because now I'm moving towards plant-based. Well, a lot of the people that I know that are eating plant-based things are eating a lot of these man-made created products, as opposed to, if I want a plant-based burger, then, you know, chop up some mushrooms and onions or smash some lentils. Don't give me something that's been created in a lab, because many of those are high in sodium and saturated fats, and they're ultra processed. So we have to take ownership as consumers and start to vote with our dollars. And by voting with our dollars, that's going to mean not purchasing all of this stuff and demanding higher accountability from these corporations to reduce added sugars and unhealthy fats, incorporate more whole ingredients, and reduce additives and artificial ingredients, which we all know affects their food costs. They won't want to do this, but the only way I think we're really going to start to see an upswell of change is if we start to vote with our dollars, and that means what we actually purchase.
Mm-hmm. Well, leave us with this. I mean, because time is an issue here, right? It's better for us to take whole foods, as you said, cook them for our meals. But let's be honest, sometimes we just do not have the time in our days. We need things readily available. We need them to be convenient. So any alternatives that you can leave us with?
My alternative is meal prep. You know, I'm going to take you there. Make the time. And if you can't make the time, then try and find products that have five or fewer ingredients on the label.
We've been talking to certified sugar-free health coach Rochelle Trotter of Living Well with Rochelle. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Great tips. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited and mixed by Meha Ahmed. Reset brings you the local news that you need to know. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow and subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss another conversation. You can also check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you so much for listening.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.